made the peace and the word of God in your heart, that it might not, that you might not sin against him. May the word be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway, and give you revelation knowledge into the person and the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Our scripture reading tonight will come from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 25, and that in the New International Version. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 25, that in the New International Version. And then also we're going to read Colossians, the second chapter, verse 16 through 23 in the New King James Version of the Bible. Praise God. The New International Version, and then the New King James Version. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is our reading on tonight. And I do know Hebrews 10, 1 through 25. I'm sorry. I do understand that this is a lengthy portion of scripture. However, that's a good format for me in regard to teaching and getting the complete thought, because this is Bible study, and we want to make sure that we're getting the complete thought. One of the things that hinder understanding is context and content. Amen. Context and content. Amen. In other words, to have the word be presented in its whole thought within that particular chapter or chapters, thereby we have a complete reading of what the thought is, instead of chopping it up and then later on trying to come back in and then clarify what's been said by additionally reading it. So we'll just read it all in its totality in that context. Amen. Then deal with the content so that you have an understanding of the word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 25, and it says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves." Amen. They're shadows, praise God, of the things to come. All that is in the law, all the items used for worship, all of these things are shadows. Amen. People are types of Christ. The law and all of this ornamentation and things of that nature, and the law itself was a shadow of the things to come, but not the reality. The reality is Christ. Amen. Let's keep reading. For this reason, praise God, for this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice repeatedly, endlessly, year after year, make perfect, make complete, make whole, make mature, those who draw near to worship. Verse 2, otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshiper would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those who sacrifice are an annual reminder of sin. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Talking about the Old Testament system. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Amen. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am, as it is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, my God.'" First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you do not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will. I've come through the volume of the book to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. That's important. He sets aside the first, that's the Old Testament, to establish the second. And that's the new, and that's through Christ. Amen. By that will, and by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. Verse 11, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin, talking about the Old Testament. But when this priest, Christ, had to offer for all, amen, all time, one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 13. And since that time, amen, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. And for by one sacrifice, he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Verse 15, let's look at this. The Holy Spirit who testifies to us by this, first he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my law in their heart, and I will write them on their hands. Then he said, their sins and their lawless acts I will remember no more. And where there has been forgiven, amen, sacrifices for sin is no longer necessary. Hallelujah. Then it says, therefore, brothers and sisters. That therefore is important because it says, based upon your understanding, your attending to the previous verses, 1 through 18, he says, now this is your action. This is what you do. Consequently, here are your next steps. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, amen, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance, amen, that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled, amen, to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Thank you, Jesus. Let us hold unwaveringly to the purpose we confess. For he who promised is faithful. Thank you, Father. Verse 24, let us consider how we might stir up one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting, not forsaking the assembly, not giving up meeting as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Praise God. Hebrews 10 and 25 is important for us. And 24, he says, let us consider how we may stir up one another towards love and good deeds. Amen. Not forsaking the meeting together. One of the purposes of the meetings is to stir us up to good works. Amen. Towards love and good deeds. Amen. Having given up. Amen. Not giving up meeting together. That's a command. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Praise the Lord. All the more as you see the day approaching, encouraging one another, meeting together, stirring one another, amen, and do it even more as we see the capital D, that day approaching, that end day approaching. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16 through 13, and it says this, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or new moon. It's all these Old Testament worship days. All of these Old Testament regulations and Sabbaths, amen, and all of these Sabbaths that include the Saturday Sabbath, which are shadows of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. They're shadows of the things to come, amen, but the substance is of Christ. The Old Testament festivals, the new moon, the Sabbaths are shadows, but the substance is of Christ. Verse 18, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, in the worship of angels, introducing into those things which are intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, that's talking about Jesus, from whom the whole body nourished and knit together, by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that comes from God. Praise the name of the Lord. Tonight, I want to deal with this out of Hebrews 10 and verse 12. Amen. The sacrifice of this man. praise God, the sacrifice of, praise God, this man, or this one man, praise the name of the Lord, this high priest, as it is in the New King James Version of the Bible. Praise God. One of the things that's very important, and I think I'll start out by saying this, is that properly established Bible doctrines, amen, will directly affect your walk. Properly established and understood, should I add to that, Bible, your doctrine will directly affect your walk. It'll affect your walk. It will affect the depth of your worship. It'll affect the enthusiasm of your praise. Amen. And it will give you the ability to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think I got to say that again. When we're properly established in the word, when we're properly established in the doctrines of the word of God, amen, it will directly affect your walk. Your doctrine, amen, is directly connected to your behavior. Your Bible doctrine, what you believe, how you believe it and apply it, is directly connected to your walk, your behavior. Amen. As Paul says in Ephesians 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, walk wise. Amen. Amen. Redeeming the time, making full use of the time that we have. Glory to God. Amen. It's connected to your depth of worship. It's connected to how enthusiastic you praise the Lord. Amen. Give God praise for the person and the ministry of Christ. Amen. It's directly connected to that. And it's connected to warfare. Jesus defeated the enemy in time of the temptation in the wilderness through properly applying the word of God. Jesus defeated, or Jesus, amen, did not yield as the first Adam did in the wilderness testing through proper application of the word. The enemy tried the same trick, cunning trick, on the second Adam as he did the first Adam. But the second Adam knew how to use the word. This is the key right here, in context. Amen. So once the believer understands the absolute importance of Jesus Christ our Lord and how he fulfilled the law, amen, you become a weapon against the Antichrist and false doctrine and false brethren. Amen. Once you have a great understanding of that and you learn how to walk in that, amen, you become the front line of this fence, and we know how to withstand against the Antichrist, false doctrine and false brethren that are purposing to impose, sometimes secretly, their eggs, hatch their snake eggs, I call it, glory to God, in the body of Christ to infiltrate that poison into the mind of the people of God to keep them from knowing Christ better, to keep them from knowing Christ better and lead them into sin, into bondage. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So your doctrine is important, that you learn the word of God. You can't just study because you're in a particular situation. You can't just study about your situation. You have to study to know your Redeemer. Job said this, I know my Redeemer lives. You got to study so you know how we got to where we are right now and how to build continuously on that foundation. Glory to God. How to build continually on the foundation. Amen. Our Bible students, for those of you that purpose to be Bible students, one of the things that will help you understand what you're reading and keep it in contents, you got to understand the totality of the book. You got to understand who's writing, who is he writing to, what's the issue that's being addressed? What's the issue that's being addressed? And so you keep first of all, you have the book in context. You have the book in its totality in context so that you can deal with the chapters and verse within its context. Praise God. The book of Hebrews was written to Hebrews, to those that have converted from Judaism into Christianity. And because of the persecution of those who did not convert, they're still stuck in the Old Testament. They wanted to reverse their course. They wanted to go back to escape that persecution by their countrymen. Amen. They wanted to go backwards. And so I believe, and there's a whole lot of theological debate about who wrote the book of Hebrews, and we'll discuss that next week. But I believe it was Paul. Amen. But we'll talk more about that on next week. Amen. So the purpose, glory to God, of the writing of the book is to encourage them. Why go back into the shadows? Why go back into an old system when the more perfect, the establishment, the reality has already come in the person of Christ? Glory to God. And so there are two words that we're going to deal with as we study in the book of Hebrews. One is the superiority, amen, of Christ. He's superior. And then the word better, amen, superior and better. Glory to God, amen. So the writer exhorts them to go on to perfection, amen. He says, go on to perfection. And so he appeals to them, amen, on the basis of the superiority of Christ over the entire Judaic system, over the sacrifices, over the high priest, everything about that system. Christ is better. Glory to God. Christ is better. Why go back to the old system that is a shadow, that is just a task, is the law teacher, amen. It's the tutorer until faith came. Amen. That old system could not make complete those that come year by year. What he's talking year by year is the Day of Atonement. Every year by year, had to have a sacrifice. Whatever your class was, if you were richer, you had more monies, it was a bull every year or a lamb. Amen. If you step down, you middle class, it could be a goat. And so on and on, so that the sin could be atoned, not washed, not cleansed, but atoned for. Glory to God. And that is a covering, not making clean, but a covering. And so that's why Hebrews says that the blood of bulls and of goats cannot wash away sin, could not handle, could not make complete as Christ did, the Lamb of God, the eternal once and for all sacrifice. Amen. Therefore, Christ is better than the Old Testament system. He is superior over the whole Judaic system. Amen. So Christ, amen, he starts out, says he's better than the angels. Amen. For they worshiped him. He's better than Moses, for he created him. Moses was a servant in the house, but this Christ was the owner of the house. Glory to God. Amen. And he is better than Moses. He's better than the Aaronic priesthood, for his sacrifice was once for all. The Aaronic priesthood. And what we mean by Aaron is Aaron was the first high priest. And that priesthood consisted of five individuals: Nadab, Bihu, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and Aaron. Amen. Five is the number of grace. Amen. That system that God established through Moses on Mount Sinai, praise God, for made it possible for him to dwell with his people, but it never was the end result. And glory to God. Amen. Christ, the Lamb of God, has come to take away the sins of the world. Praise God. And so he's better than the law, for he mediates a better covenant. In short, there is more to gain in Christ than to be lost in Judaism. There's more to gain in Christ than to lose in Judaism. Amen. So pressing on in Christ produces a faith. It produces self-discipline. It produces visible love and good works. Amen. Christ, amen, is better than Melchizedek. Amen. And all of these things just point towards his identifying with man in the natural. Amen. At the same time, being a high priest and touching heaven. Christ, the Son of God, is touching man. Glory to God. Amen. The Son of Man is touching man. I'm sorry. The Son of God as high priest. Amen. Touching God at the same time. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16 saying, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest, listen to this, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Amen. But was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. So we have a high priest, amen, who understands our weaknesses. Amen. He understands our weaknesses. How does this translate over into devotion? How does this translate over into my day-to-day prayer life? Amen. Because he is tempted like to us. Amen. When we come before him, we have the assurance that he knows exactly how we feel, amen, because he was in a human suit. He knows exactly how he feels, so he can sympathize. This is one of the qualifications of the high priest, to be able to connect with the sins of the people. Glory to God. The high priest had to offer sacrifice for himself, sacrifice for the people. But this Christ only offered once. And amen, did not have to offer sacrifice for himself. He only offered sacrifice, glory to God, for the people. Amen, did not have to offer sacrifice for himself, but he offered sacrifice for the people. Glory to God. Now, in Hebrews 10, we're back. And this is a continuing dialogue from verse chapter 9. Praise God, from actually 8, 9, and 10. Amen. And once we turn the curve in chapter 11, it starts talking about, amen, walking in faith. Praise God, because the just shall live by faith. And he introduces the concept of faith, and we'll talk more about that on next week. Praise God. And so verse 10, chapter 10 says, the law is only a shadow of the things to come, amen, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice, repeatedly, endlessly, year by year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Amen. It cannot complete the matter. Praise the Lord. So that old system was there until the second was established. If the first was perfect, if the first was complete, there'd be no room for the second. Amen. But the second point towards more superior things. Amen. Better things in Christ. Christ is superior over our Old Testament system. Now, why is that important, and why are you talking like this? As time goes on, amen, there are many false brethren. There are many false apostles and false prophets, amen, that still insist on Gentile believers and converted Jewish believers, to going back to an Old Testament type system. It's called legalism. And coming out of the substance of Christ back into a shadow. Why go backwards to a shadow when we have already apprehended the person? Why go back to a shadow when we're holding fast, amen, the Lamb of God who come to take away, amen, the sins of the world? Why go back to dragging up the bull and the lamb and the goat and the turtle dove and the wave offering and the grain offering? Praise God. When Christ, here's the key word, fulfilled the law. Amen. So why go back to, amen, the copy, when the real deal is here in Christ? And so as we hold fast to that, thank you, Lord, as we hold fast to that, it becomes the first line of defense against false teaching, the first line of defense against this illegal virus, this called legalism, infiltrating the church and disrupting and shipwrecking the faith of some to go back to a legalistic type worship, a legalistic type, amen, embracing a religious lifestyle. That's why it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16, let no one judge you, amen, in food or in drink, regarding festivals. These are Old Testament things, new moons and Sabbaths, which are the shadow of the things to come, which is a shadow of the things to come. But the substance, is of Christ. Glory to God. Amen. But the substance, the body, literally meaning the reality, the fulfilling of it is of Christ. So let no one cheat you. That's the point. Let no one cheat you of your reward in taking the delight in false humility, worship of angels, amen, intruding onto those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knitted together by joints and ligaments, grow with increase that is from God. Glory to God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulation? Do not touch, do not taste, and do not handle. All things which perish with the using according to the commandments and the doctrine of men. These things have an appearance of wisdom, self-imposed religion, false humility, the neglect of the body, amen, but are no value against the indulgence of the flesh. That's the main thing. Amen. There are no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Only Christ. And amen. And the reality of that, he was hung up for my hangups. Glory to God. I have no need of this legalistic type mindset. I have no need, amen, for all of this stuff. Praise God. When Christ fulfilled the law, and mainly this, love one another as yourself. Amen. Love one another as yourself. Love fulfills the law. Praise the name of the Lord. With all of the things that are of the law, if you try to keep one command, you got to keep them all. Amen. That's the issue with legalism. If you go back and try to keep all of the laws, you got to keep them all. If you embrace one, you got to keep them all. That does not mean we live roguish. That does not mean we live a lavish life and we live in sin. Romans said, God forbid, praise the name of the Lord. But it's through the power of the Holy Ghost and walking in the Spirit, then I recognize that the Spirit is leading me to fulfill all things, for he has done all things well. Glory to God. So my doctrine, and I'm almost done, my doctrine, what I understand in the Word of God, again, let's not study just because we like patience. And so you do a keyword search and look up all the words said patience. Amen. And so your studying is really only about what you're going through, not knowing the person in the ministry of Christ. Amen. That's good. But don't let your studying be only relegated to your current personal needs. Glory to God. Once you understand, it has to be centered around the person in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that made a new and a living way when the veil of the temple ripped. It's symbolic of his body, where he says, amen, I am the way. I am way. I'm truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. My body was the veil. All of that was emblematic and symbolic of him. Glory to God in the highest. And so my doctrine affects my level of worship. Amen. When I lift my hands, amen. And when I begin to declare he's both Christ and Lord, he's my Savior and Lord. Amen. I understand mentally what that means. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. And it is to our advantage. It is to our advantage that we understand all of the word. It's to our advantage that we develop and ask God for a passion and an insight into the word. He's a God that reveals secrets. Glory to God. Amen. And hidden things that are in the word. Praise God. So always approach the word with prayer. Always approach the word with reverence. Always, amen, approach the word of God, asking the Father to open the eyes of your understanding that you may know the hope of your calling. Open the eyes of your understanding that you may comprehend this great word. Amen. And that you may walk therein by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the thing that we have to get the believers, amen, to embrace, not just for where I am today looking in the Bible, but the person and the ministry of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is important because it is his redemptive, the redemption in his blood. Praise God. It is the redemptive work of Christ, the reason why we are the way we are right now. So it behooves you to understand the person and the ministry of Christ in totality, not just from where you are right now, not just because, amen, you're going through the financial strain, not because, amen, your heart is bleeding in some way or another, but I want to know him in the fullness of the ministry and what it costs, amen, for me to be free. For it pleased the Father to lay upon him, glory to God, the burdens of us all. And so we should have that. We should get that. We should adore that. We should want that. Amen. And if you're lacking it, ask the Father, amen, for a passion for his word. Amen. So in that word is cleansing. In that word is direction. In that word, we gather hope. Praise God. In that word, we establish our apologetic. That just means the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. In that word, we worship and give God praise. Amen. All of that so that you're well-rounded. And this is the point that we're making. Amen. This is the exhortation that we're going to be. The book of Hebrews gives us the superiority of Christ over all the Old Testament Judaic system. He is better. Praise God that he's in angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than the sacrifices. He's better than the old priesthood. All things of have, amen, he has done. Therefore, he says to you and I, amen, the just shall walk by faith. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. And so, what shall we do since Christ has done all of these things? Amen. We still have an altar. We still have an enduring place outside of the camp. He says, let us, amen, by him offer up the sacrifice of praise from the fruit of our lips. Glory to God. And he says, and don't forget to do good and to share. Glory to God. Not just praise him. Don't forget to do good and to share. With such sacrifices, amen, the Father is well pleased. So, it is our responsibility, amen, to understand the whole person and ministry of Christ. It is our, should be our passion. And we must get attained to that. We must, amen, have passion for that. And we must press in that with all fervor and with all zeal. Glory to God. Amen. And not be lazy in regard to the things of God. Praise God. So I exhort you in that tonight. May the Lord give you understanding of what I'm saying. May you have amen, insight, revelation, knowledge. May the passion arise in you for the word of God. Amen. And may you hide it in your heart that you will not, amen, so that we will not sin against him. And walk, amen, so that we can walk circumspectly, or in other words, with all wisdom and prudence, amen, making full use of the time, amen. So may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you is our prayer. I exhort you in this, study, amen, go back to the book of Hebrews as we continue in our Wednesday night Bible study. Again, it's a blessing to appear into the word of God. Therein we are established. Father, we thank you, we magnify you, we glorify you. You alone are God, all by yourself. And besides you, there is none other. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is to be praised. Thank you for the ultimate sacrifice. For you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son. And those who believe in you will not perish, but have, amen, eternal life. Amen. We so, Father, we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. You're-